Taiwan has been enveloped over the weekend by China's largest ever military exercises around the self-ruled island. Australia, the US and Japan have called on Beijing to cease drills immediately as Taiwan's government says they appeared to simulate an attack. Europe, grappling with its own war, wants tensions from the visit resolved through dialogue and hopes communication channels with China can stay open to avoid miscalculation. Michael Pulsch is the outgoing EU ambassador to Australia and our guest this morning. Ambassador, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Patricia.
Australia, the US and Japan jointly urged China to stop military exercises immediately over the weekend. The EU's been more reserved in its criticism. Talk us through the strategy.
Well, I'm not sure we have been more reserved. We've been out there with a G7 statement with our partners early on. The High Representative was in Phnom Penh for the ASEAN meeting, and he spoke very clearly about the fact that we are very concerned about this unwarranted escalation that we've seen from the Chinese side, the launching of missiles across Taiwan, some of which landed in the Japanese economic zone. This adds to tensions in the region, and we called on China to stop these activities. We also called on all parties to show restraint at this point in time.
Is there a feeling after Pelosi's visit that this is America's fight?
No, we have been also quite clear that the visits by parliamentarians are a normal part of the contacts and connections that parliamentarians do maintain with international partners. And so there's not a sense in Europe that this is a fault on the part of the US.
Taiwan says the exercises over the weekend appeared to simulate an attack. Is war over Taiwan now closer than it's ever been? What is Brussels saying?
Well, what we are saying is that we see this escalation and this increased tension. We would like to see all parties go back to a peaceful resolution of their differences. And we've advocating this all along, also when it comes to the South China Sea, which is another flashpoint here. Here we've been very clear on our wish to see international relations governed by international law, UNCLOS in that case.
Just changing the topic to bring it to the free trade agreement. Free trade negotiations between Australia and the European Union are underway again. Is there renewed optimism with the new government and can we expect a deal soon?
Well, there is indeed a new optimism. I was in Brussels and Paris and Frankfurt just a few weeks ago at the same time as the Prime Minister travelled to Europe. And I heard from all my counterparts in the European Commission, the European Parliament and Member States that there is a new priority for a free trade agreement. And I think there are three or four factors in that regard. One is both Australia and the EU wish to diversify their trade connections. We've learned that it's not a good idea to put all your eggs in one basket. Secondly, a new climate change, a more ambitious climate change policy by the Australian government makes it easier to have a significant sustainable trade chapter in our agreement. And that's important because the Parliament is very adamant, as our member states, that every agreement that we sign as a European Union should be a net plus on climate change. And then there is Australia's very proactive policy on Ukraine. And that creates a lot of goodwill in Europe for Australia. And this was exactly the week when the Prime Minister was in Madrid. Unprecedented participation of Australia in the NATO summit. So there is a sense that we should work together with like-minded partners, both politically in security terms, but also when it comes to trade.
Just staying on that theme of Ukraine, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky told Australian universities last week that bodies like the EU should label Russia a state sponsor of terrorism. Is that the right move? Would it help or hinder an end to Russia's attack?
Well, I was present at that presentation, and I think it's a great idea to have the Ukrainian president talk directly to students. I think we have to counter Russian narratives wherever we can. Whether that is a next step in this exercise, I can't judge. But it is very clear that we have to be out there and counter Russian narratives, particularly when it comes now to food scarcity and the rise of energy prices, which they try to blame on the EU or Western sanctions or otherwise. It has to be clear who is the aggressor in this case, and this is Russia. We've worked with Australia to get a Juncker resolution through with 141 countries, a spectacular outcome, if you wish, supporting that condemnation of Russia's aggression. And there were only a handful, the usual suspects, who voted against it. But now we have to be vigilant that Russian narratives don't resonate in other countries.
Just finally, and we've only got a minute left, but how has the relationship between Australia and the EU changed? And what are the biggest challenges facing the relationship as you leave?
Well, I think I see this relationship on an upward trajectory. There have been one or two setbacks that you mentioned, but we are back to a renewed energy in that relationship. The free trade agreement will be an anchor. I very much hope, as my colleagues in Brussels, that we will be able to finalize it next year. And the major trends, cooperation and security matters, outlook on international multilateral cooperation, diversification of trade, all speak for a stronger relationship between the EU and Australia.
Well, good luck on your next adventure, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Patricia, for having me on the program.
Michael Pulsh is the outgoing EU ambassador to Australia. You're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.